and welcome to the Clutch Tennis Podcast. This week we have an interesting week. We have the Madrid Masters, so another clay event coming up. That's what we're going to be discussing today, and we are joined by Luke. So hello, Luke. How are you doing?
Hello, Charlie. How are you? I'm well.
Well, I'm extremely growing frustrated with this software that has taken me like 20 minutes to get it to work, but I'm good, thank you, otherwise. I was with the lovely Jack Murray, who is not joining us today again, the last couple of weeks, so that's why we've not been throwing out the podcasts. But yeah, how are you, Luke?
Yeah, no, I'm all right. I've been quite a few weeks. Start a job next week, so kind of take it easy.
Quite a few weeks. Have you not been enthralled by the Lajovic show?
I have been enthralled by the Lajovic show last week, to be fair, yeah.
Dusan. I hate that guy. Dusan Lajovic is the bane of my life. Anyway, yeah, so that was last week. We'll have a little chat about that now, actually, because moving into this week, obviously, big week coming up. It's what I call the start of the real Masters. I don't really count Monte Carlo. Sorry, Rublev. Because it's crap and it's a small field and the big guys just don't really seem to care about it as much. It's the first Masters of the clay swing. They kind of use it as a bit of a feeler event, I think. Not to discredit it. Obviously, it's still 1,000 points that they gain. But it's nowhere near as credible, I don't think, as Madrid, and definitely not as Rome if we're looking forward towards the French, as these clay court events start to take a little bit more note. Madrid much faster, obviously, than any other clay event on tour, pretty much. It's actually based on... clay is a very interesting surface, if you don't already know. So we get what we kind of define as American clay courts, which are very quick, often grey in colour, or at least darker orange. And they're very much often based on a kind of dusting of clay on top of a hard court, basically. You then get kind of moderately quick clay courts like Madrid, where they're the traditional kind of orange, deep sooty clay, but it's still based on the top of a kind of shallow concrete court. So like almost like an acrylic court underneath the clay. And then you get the kind of true clay, which is much slower, much heavier, which is more like Rome and the French Open, where you could dig down feet and feet of it and you're still going to be playing on dirt. That kind of is why the court pace index tends to differ quite a lot on these kind of clay surfaces. And you can play one clay event and it's going to favor bigger hitters like your Isners, your Ivashkas, your Del Potros. And you can play other events where it's going to favor your Nadals, your kind of grinders like Schwartzman and all of these guys. Madrid, as I say, plays much quicker, slightly faster kind of concrete based surface, and that's why players like Zverev, like Andy Murray in the past, have had so much success at this kind of event. And it's not a true reflection of how we're going to see it at the French, as I say, but it's much more credible, I think, than Monte Carlo. Now, looking back on last week, we didn't have a podcast, so we won't need a recap on that, although I don't know, have you done a recap for the last podcast we did, Luke, by any chance?
Yeah, I've got one prepared for the Indian Wells one, which is the last one we did.
That's a while back. We will throw back to that, but I'm just going to touch base on kind of the events of last week, and I'll ask you what your thoughts are on what we saw last week as well, because last week was obviously the Barcelona, the Srpska Banja Luka Open, I don't even care what this event was, Banja Luka Barcelona. And Munich. Fill the gap for me, Luke. I've forgotten.
Munich,
that was the one. Oh, yes. And we have three winners there. We have Carlos Alcaraz in Barcelona. Gasp, shock, horror. Who surprised there? Didn't drop a set all week. Then we have in Banja Luka, we have Dusan Lajovic. As I said, incredible. Beat Novak Djokovic, world number one. Big injury question marks over him. And beat Rublev, Monte Carlo winner again. Is it a credible Masters? Let's come back to that. And then, as I say, over in Munich BMW Open, we have Holger Rune coming back from 5-1, I think, down in the final set, actually. Maybe 5-2 against Botic van der Zandschulp in a repeat of last year's final, where this time around, he didn't have a panic attack, but he did look pretty anxious when he went up serving for it. So, Any thoughts on kind of the performances we've seen last week, Luke?
Yeah, I mean, we've touched on Ljubic. Obviously, he was really impressive. I mean, Djokovic, yeah,
more than flipping impressive. He's the best player in the world.
Yeah, I mean, his win against Djokovic, obviously, Djokovic wasn't at his best. But, you know, a lot of it was down to Ljubic actually playing really strong front foot tennis and just, you know, consistently hitting lines, basically, which, you know, for anyone is hard to play against, and great composure to close it out against a season pro in Rublev in the final. That Munich final was one of the craziest I've seen, I think, particularly that final set. Van der Zandschulp serving for it three times and still not winning. I think he had four match points. Rune is struggling with multiple injuries as well. It's just absolute chaos. And yeah, I think that will haunt Van der Zandschulp for a while, as he's still not won a title yet.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually watching the Rublev match. I remember we were talking about this as it was happening. So I was watching Rublev and just being blown away by just how it wasn't Rublev's finest performance, right? He's obviously tired. He played a lot of tennis. There was a lacking of 10% on his shots. And yes, he still won a set and potentially could have actually won the match if he'd not, what I would say, chickened out in that final game and started just trying to make balls. But Ljubic was incredible. He was the best player through all three sets. I really thought that after he dropped that second set, getting broken right at the end, he was gonna fall away. But Ljubic came out, went a double break up in that final set, and ended up closing it out 6-4 single break. And as you say, over in Munich, I didn't see much of it, but watching the highlights back and seeing kind of the feigning of injuries from Rune, which I don't endorse, but just how poorly Van der Zandschulp managed that situation. That's a shocker. Like, this is a guy who's got big shots. You'd be saying probably a hold percentage somewhere around the 80%, maybe 70% on clay, I don't know. But to give him two bites of the cherry with the serve and forehand that guy has, you got to be thinking like, okay, having multiple match points, if not just taking it comfortably, shouldn't be getting broken. Not in that situation. I did see one of the points where Rune hit a tweener at like 5-2, 15 love or something. Man, you can't do much about that. But like, you just got to handle those situations better. So big flags over what Van der Zandschulp will produce if he ever gets another final. And I would have to be saying that the guy he plays would be favourite in any.
Yeah, I mean, look how long it took Auger Aliassime to get over the line. I mean, he was, I don't actually know how old Van der Zandschulp is, but Felix was very young and he was obviously too good to not win a title. And Van der Zandschulp was playing some really good tennis that weekend in that final. He won the second set 6-1. I think Rune kind of checked out in the last couple of games. But yeah, it's a shame for him that he couldn't get over the line. As you say, with that game, to not serve it out three times is criminal, really.
I actually didn't even know that he had another chance to serve it out after being 5-1, 5-2, whatever it was.
Yeah, he broke him at 5-all.
That's
served it at 6-5.
That's absolutely criminal. Fair enough. And then there's not much that needs to be said about Barcelona. I actually said to you that I'd cut off my left testicle if he lost to Tsitsipas, and it was another annihilation. So just quality from Alcaraz all week. Played one pretty poor game in the quarters, I think it was, against Davidovich Fekina. A talented player, don't get me wrong, Davidovich Fekina, but you wouldn't expect Alcaraz to struggle. And he did go to a tiebreak in the first set, I think it was, against him. And still won. And it was the worst tennis I've probably seen Alcaraz play other than times when he's been injured. It was dreadful. I think he hit 28, 29 on forced errors, if I recall what the stats were, something around there, and still won the set. So he didn't drop a set all week. So watch out for Alcaraz.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely my French Open favourite at the moment. Provided he can stay fit. He's obviously struggled with injuries quite a lot recently. But yeah, given obviously Nadal's a big doubt for the French, hasn't played since the Aussie Open. Djokovic has withdrawn from this week in Miami. He said last week that his shoulder's not ideal or something like that. So yeah, as long as he can stay fit, I think Alcaraz is a clear favourite.
Yeah, and that's kind of the recap on last week, and I think it's important to touch on that because we didn't really do anything about the start of the clay season because, as I say, just personal stuff coming around. I'll get you just to very quickly go through your recap from Indian Wells. If you've got it, Luke, just talk about kind of what profit we hopefully made there. But we probably don't need to go to the details of kind of talking about what went wrong and stuff just because it's been so long. But I'll hand over to you.
Yeah, and I'll try and do it as quickly as I can. I'll start with our tips of passes. Mine lost. It was Montero minus 3.5 games against Payer, which feels like a long time ago now, taking me to 3-3 for the season. Charlie's was Daniel minus 3.5 games against Carbajal Baena, which won, taking him to 2-4 for the season. We produced a lot of content for Indian Wells for pretty much every round. We did at least one article or a Twitter accumulator or something. We did pretty well. And it sort of, including our podcast accumulator as well, we ended up up 10.72 units for that, 21 wins and 5 losses, which for the amount of tips we put out is pretty good. Outrights, we had Sinner, Tsitsipas, Hurkacz, didn't make the final. Medvedev did make the final, but his odds were so short that we didn't go each way there. But I think you had Alcaraz, Charlie, who obviously won Indian Wells at 6-1. Giving us 4.5 units profit there. So overall for Indian Wells, we're up 11.22 units. And then we produced, I'll add those in as well. We had one winner, one loser. So in total for the Sunshine Double, we were up 14.03 units. So
Yep. Sorry. Apologies. My thing wasn't unmuting there. So just say that again. How many units was? I think it might have cut out just very slightly.
14.03 for Indian Wells and Miami.
That's pretty damn good, to be honest. So I think it'll be interesting. Maybe we'll do like a quarterly or maybe half yearly review or something halfway through the year and just kind of see how much we are up across all of them, because I think the only losses we've had have been very marginal losses, and I think we've had a couple of weeks where we've had quite big weeks. So I think we're doing pretty well on the whole, which is nice to see. So as I say, moving now onto this week, which is the Madrid Masters. Now I've already outlined about the court pace index, so you've got to be a little bit wary if you're looking at players who are traditional clay courters. And I don't mean like, okay, yeah, sure, you stick Nadal on this surface, he's probably going to win anyway. But I mean like your Carbajal Baenas, who you might rely on a slow hard court, your Schwartzmans, as I said before, these guys aren't going to do so well here. So you can expect to see the bigger servers probably winning rounds that you wouldn't necessarily expect them to win on clay. So just a little bit of a forewarning there. Now, just talking about the event generally, I think the top seed is Alcaraz. Is that right, Luke?
Yeah. Top seed's Alcaraz, and then the second seed is Medvedev.
Yeah, because I believe Djokovic pulled out after losing to Lajovic, saying that he's suffering with injury and wants to be tip-top form, he said, for the French, which I'm sure he will be. He'll take some performance-enhancing drugs, and he'll be right back on track. But probably looking at Alcaraz being relatively firm favourite here. I actually think that Madrid is probably close to the best surface that that you'll see Alcaraz on. He'll get the ability of the clay with the movement and the kind of improving his already insane movement skills by enabling him to slide. But equally, the court will just give him that little bit more. So his shots are going to sort of fire through. He'll be able to hurt people off both wings. And I think yes, it is a fast clay court, but it's not a fast hard court. He's still going to get additional time for his big wind-ups. So I think you probably got to be making Alcaraz a relatively firm favourite, but we'll come on to that when we talk about our outrights. I'll hand over to you first, Luke, to go through your accumulators and your tips and pass for them.
Yeah, sure. So I'll start with the man of the hour. I've got Dusan Lajovic to beat Jason Kubler at 8-15. We've already talked about what a great week he had last week. He doesn't play, this match won't be until Thursday, so he has kind of more time than usual to recover from last week, both physically and emotionally. It's not uncommon that you see someone, if they have a massive week the week before, that they lose their very next match. But I think given the extra time he has to recover, I think he'll be okay. It's obviously a bit quicker. Something you haven't mentioned is that the altitude is another reason that it plays quite quick. I think Madrid's about 1,000 meters above sea level, which is pretty high. But to be honest, whilst it's obviously different from Banja Luka, given the kind of first strike tennis that Lajovic was playing, I think if anything, it could suit him even more. You know, that's when he's at his best, when he's getting those kind of serve and plus one combinations in, and just hitting big off both sides. Kubler's not terrible on clay, but it's still probably his worst surface. So if Lajovic plays anything like the way he did last week, that should be a straightforward win. I've got Stan Wawrinka to beat Maxime Cressy at 2-5. Cressy's had a very poor year so far, apart from one week indoors, I think, in Marseille. Where he made the final, and his clay court record in his career is pretty terrible. You know, he's a big guy. He doesn't move well on it. His serve is not as effective as usual. And you know, there's more potential for him to get into rallying grinds, which does not suit his kind of game style at all. Wawrinka, on the other hand, has looked quite impressive this year. I think he's had a nice win already on the clay. Against Griekspoor in Monte Carlo, I thought he looked quite good against Fritz in the second round as well. I think the first set went to a tiebreak. Yeah, it did actually. It was very close. So yeah, based on current form, despite the conditions being a bit quicker than usual for a clay court, I still back Stan to have enough to get through that. Next up, I've got Christian Garin to beat Marc-Andre Huesler at 1-3. Garin's had a really good year so far. He qualified for both Indian Wells and Miami, and made the fourth round and the third round, which kind of, you know, he's on the verge of dropping out of the top 100. I think he might have even actually dropped out, but he's well back inside now. He made the quarterfinals in Houston and Munich in his only two, well, since the Gold Swing, actually, I think he played there. But yeah, so he has a bit of form already on the clay. He has obviously history on the clay, won multiple titles on it. And I think a big factor in this matchup will be the movement, because Garin moves quite well on clay and Huesler moves kind of a bit like Bambi on ice on the clay, from what I saw last week. And his record on the clay in his career is pretty poor. Yeah, I just think if Garin can hang in the rallies long enough, Huesler's look quite erratic when I've seen him this week, so I think he will get opportunities to break, and his serve is potent enough to not be under too much pressure, particularly on this slightly quicker surface. So yeah, I'm taking Gary not 1-3 there. And then my last match I'm taking is Bernabe Zapata-Morales to beat Kenzie McDonald at 4-7. Zapata-Morales has had some good results on the clay so far this year in the Golden Swing. I think he made a Rio semi or something like that. But he's an accomplished clay courter anyway, whereas McDonald is not. I know it's a bit quicker, but Zapata-Morales is of the breed of kind of aggressive clay courters that, if anything, the extra pace will just make it tougher for McDonald to make that extra ball. Which would worry me more in this matchup. But I think Zapata Morales is best is so much better than McDonald's on this surface. That although he has kind of very often highs and lows in his matches, I think, you know, he'll be able to take advantage of the highs more often than he will, you know, lose games in the lows, if that makes sense at all. Just based off clay court pedigree and the form that they've both had this year, I'm firmly backing Zapata Morales to win that. So that's my fourfold. It's got Lajovic to beat Kubler at 8-15, Wawrinka to beat Cressy at 2-5, Garin to beat Huesler at 1-3, and Zapata Morales to beat McDonald. And that fourfold comes in at 3.49-1.
I might as well just go straight into mine because only one leg differs. And that's a very positive sign, I often think. So I like a lot of it. First leg up for me is I've got Garin to beat Huesler. Huesler is much more suited to... yes, he likes quick surfaces, so he is going to get more purchase off the surf. That's the only concern I can see. But you are right, his movement on clay is not great. He had a decent week last week, I think. I think he beat Edmund and then lost to Dominic Thiem maybe in three sets, I think. But Garin should have far too much pedigree on this surface, really. He's a much better mover. His backhand is crap, but at the same time, so is Huesler. So if we end up in that cross-court battle, it's just going to be a junk fest. I think Garin should be able to manipulate the court a little bit better with his forehand. I don't like the notion of him bringing Huesler forward because he is very adept at the net. And that's one thing that I think Garin normally does quite well. But I think if he can get into kind of a moving the guy around at the back of the court, Garin should be a firmer favourite than 1-3, perhaps. So I like that one. I don't see him losing. I've got Dusan Lajovic to beat Jason Kubler. Again, Kubler's got no pedigree on clay. Lajovic does, historically. Lajovic might have that little bit of a fall-off, having won last week. Slightly concerning there. But I don't really see him losing this one. Again, he should be able to kind of strike through Kubler, I would think. And again, use the angles a little bit better, move a bit better on this surface. Kubler is another guy who's not particularly got many weapons. I actually think that, yes, although he's quite nice on those kind of quicker surfaces, which Madrid obviously is, I think he's better on a quick hard where he's going to be able to utilize his movement to actually get there and strike the ball with good balance, which is what he does so well on the quick Australian courts. Lajovic moves ridiculously well on a clay court. So Lajovic there at 1-2, I actually think is very good value. Just got to be a little bit cautious with that one about the potential for a fade out from him having won the title last week. Big emotional week for him. But I still like the odds. I've got Zapata Morales at 4-7 to beat McDonald. McDonald is the world's worst player on clay. Even on a hard court these days, I actually don't even know who I'd be backing in this one. Zapata Morales has had a very good 12 to 24 months on tour. Very annoying guy. He makes a hell of a grunt when he hits the ball, but he does hit very flat off both wings, and I actually think that suits the clay at Madrid a little bit better than it does at somewhere like Rome. I think Zapata Morales will move far, far better than McDonald, and McDonald's clay court record, if you look at it, is absolutely tripe. So I think 4-7 is an absolute steal. That is my value pick of the day, and I'm just going to go ahead and say that my tips are passed, therefore, is Zapata Morales minus 2.5. So that's game's handicap again, for those who don't realise. That just means that he can't lose by more than, can't win by less than 2.5 games. So, for example, a 6-4, 7-6 would win because that's winning by three games. The last leg that I've got, which actually differs very slightly to yours, Luke, is I've gone for Alex Molchan to beat Yibing Wu at 1-3. Once again, Yibing Wu is not a clay courter. His ground strokes are exceptionally flat and he really doesn't move very well on the surface. I saw a part of his last clay court outing, and it's not exactly the best. So Alex Molchan, lefty, very, very whippy forehand, whippy backhand, quick mover, and on his best form can actually challenge the world's best on this surface. He's not shown his best form for a while, but he did have a positive outing last week in Banja Luka. So I think he is good value there at 1-3, and I can't see him losing to Bing Wu. That fourfold comes in at 3.28-1. That's Green, Lajovic, Zapata, Morales, and Molchan, 3.28-1. I'll hand over to you now to run through your outrights and wildcards.
Yes, so I will. Yeah, I like what you said. I actually looked at Molchan as well, but I was just a bit unsure of how the faster conditions would suit him in Madrid, because he's obviously of the more defensive mold of clay quarter. And I don't really know anything about Wu on this surface. So that's why I left that one. But yeah, I think Molchan's a decent pick there. I'll just add that my tips pass is also Zapata Morales minus 2.5 games against McDonald. Outright, I'm a bit unsure, because obviously the way to go here is to go for the bottom half, I think, because Alcaraz is the clear favourite here. Quite understandably, he's priced at 5-6 at the moment, which I do not like, but I do think he'll win the title. So if you want the better value, going each way on a couple of names in the bottom half. Now I am going to go for Felix Auger-Aliassime at 28-1 as my outright. He hasn't had a very good year so far. Well, actually, here's Lajovic in round two. That's a horrible first match back. Didn't see that. Maybe change. Right. let's start again.
I was going to say.
My outright is...
Lajovic is the favourite for this week, really. So I wouldn't go against him.
Yeah. So my outright is actually going to be Taylor Fritz at 33-1. I think he is. Yes. Fritz 33-1. I've liked what I've seen so far from Fritz on the clay. I think he's moving a lot better on it than in previous. Looking really solid at the moment. And it's actually hurting people now, even on clay. Obviously, his 7-4 hand has always been his two strengths, and those are looking better than ever as well. And I think he's someone that could really enjoy these fast conditions. I think they could really play into his strengths. And yeah, I mean, this half is really open. There's no Alcaraz. You've got Tsitsipas is, you know, coming back from injury. He's not playing his best stuff just yet. I don't think he wouldn't have to play him until the semis anyway. You've got Medvedev's a bit of a question mark on clay, really. I think he could be better than he is on it, if that makes sense. I think if there's one tournament that would suit him, it would be Madrid. But yeah, I don't know. I just think this half is very open, so you're better off going for longer odds here. And 33-1 on someone of Taylor Fritz's quality is pretty long, in my opinion. So yeah, go each way on him, I would. Now, my wild card, I'm going to go for Yuri Lehechka at 50-1. I just think, given the way he's played this season, I think he could have a really deep run here. He would have to play Medvedev in round three, but I really don't think that's unwinnable, given the way he's played and the way Medvedev has played on clay so far in his career. And again, I think he's someone that these quicker conditions could really suit. He's very aggressive off the serve, Lehechka. So if he can get past Medvedev, then I really don't see why he can't go all the way and make the final. So I think 50-1 is a decent price.
Yeah, I don't hate those. I'm not sure I'm going for an outright that's quite so out there, but I don't hate it at all. My outright is, I've just gone for the big name at the bottom of the draw. Basically, I've gone for Stefanos Tsitsipas. I don't like what I've seen from Steph in these last weeks, so this isn't a form pick. I know he made the final in Barcelona, but I think that's kind of why I am going for him, is that even though he's not played his best stuff, he is still winning rounds and he still is beating the best guys out there. And Madrid is actually probably one that suits him a little bit better than those slower courts, I think. I think his serve will carry a bit better. He won't have those sloppy service games. And as long as he just sorts his head out, quite frankly. I think ever since the Aussie Open, he's just been a bit broken. I know he's saying he's injured and whatnot, but like he's just hasn't looked himself. But I think he's still the name to beat in that bottom half of the draw. And at 9-1, you can get some nice each way kind of value on that one, really. And I mean, there's always an outside chance that he beats Alcaraz when he reaches the final, or Alcaraz loses somewhere else. So 9-1's a bit of a steal there. Sorry, that was my wild card, because I've actually gone for a long odds outright of Dusan Ljajovic, because no one can beat him. No, that's a joke. I'm not taking Dusan Ljajovic at 150-1, unfortunately. As much as I would like to, I can't do it to myself. No, Surf's gone. Steph sits past 9-1. And then my wild card, I'm literally just going to kind of look down the draw to, again, that bottom half. And I've gone for the guy that you've called your favourite. I've gone for Fritzy at 33-1. Again, each way, there's absolutely no reason why his game style can't hurt bigger names in that bottom half of the draw. I think if he winds up coming up against someone like Tsitsipas, I think he might struggle. But other than up against Van der Zandschulp, where he played a pretty sloppy first set, he righted the wrongs in the second set and lost on a narrow tiebreak. And he looked pretty good all of last week, really. I think the quicker clay will help him a lot. Again, more value off the first serve, off the first forehand. And he's moving better than I've ever seen him on this surface. So Fritz looking to continue his good form, I think, as a wild card there at 33-1. I'm not actually joking, by the way. I might put a pound on, I'm not selecting this for the podcast, but I might put a pound on a Ljajovic each way, just because, like, I don't think I've ever seen a guy play that well for a week, which is ridiculous. But yes, outright, sits past 9-1 each way, and we'll go Fritz each way 33-1.
Fair enough. I remember I once put a pound each way on Berrettini to win Wimbledon when he was 125-1. That was good fun. He made the fourth round, to be fair, and then hardly won a game against Federer. It was a bit embarrassing.
I was going to say, that was the year he got chopped, like, love 1 and 2 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's past those days now. So is Feds. I wonder what he's up to. Doing some, yeah, some online making promotions trainers for something or other, trying to increase the amount of money he has. Also, just completely random, just talking about tennis in general. I thought Kyrgios said he's never playing Laver Cup again. I saw earlier he was in the promotions wearing a Team World thing, hyping it all up again.
Well, I didn't hear him saying he'd never play again, but I saw the other day he was to play.
Yeah, after they lost, not last year, the year before or something, he was like, I'm never playing again, and then he didn't play the last edition, if I recall.
No, he didn't, but they still won without him.
Yeah, no, they did, which is bizarre. He was like, I'm never playing again, that's my last one, like, because he lost every match, I think. And then, yeah, he's just been out hyping it up, and TFO's been hyping up his post and all of this stuff. Very weird. But I'm excited for that. That should be good fun. Anyway, that's completely random. So that kind of brings us to the end of the Madrid Masters podcast. So thank you again for joining me and providing some good analysis, Luke. No worries. We'll try and, I say this every week, we'll try and be more active on this whole podcast. But the last few weeks is largely just due to the fact that we all have had some social stuff on. And I'm sure Luke's life is about to get much, much busier as he enters the adult world of work. So best of luck for that, Luke. And thank you all for listening. Please follow our Twitter handle at @servingupclutch. And give our website a follow as well. So just give it a little look and a read. www.servingupclutch.com. Best of luck punting this week, and we'll be back next week for a recap.